is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to the Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Mike from Masters of None. Wanted to give you a quick intro before we get into this. We got a chance to interview Bert Kreischer, who you may know from everything. He's got a show out called Trip Flip. He's got a book coming out called Life of the Party that you should pre-order on Amazon. And what else? I don't know. He's touring. He's everywhere. He's all over the place. Bert Kreischer, BertBertBert.com is where you want to go to check out all the things he's got going on. And we got a chance to interview him. And literally, as soon as the phone picked up, he just started talking. We didn't even have time to hit record. So we'll bring you to the conversation in progress, already in progress, as they say.
And he was like, I was explaining my life, and I was explaining, like, drinking and all my vices and everything. And he was like, oh, man, you're Bob Seger's song, Beautiful Loser. So I've been listening to Beautiful Loser over and over.
Yes, I heard that interview the other day, and holy shit, that's really funny. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's like, there's nothing I like more than, like, a good by yourself drinking song, you know? Like a solid song that you can listen to over and over. You know what is a really great song that they do all the time is Lou Reed's Satellite of Love.
Yes.
I've listened to that on a plane maybe 20 times in a row.
That is
the Ron Fez closing song.
The closer, too. Yep.
Dude, how much fun would you have been to do cocaine with in the 80s?
Oh my just, God.
Like, in his house playing music,
yeah,
like just fucking whacked. And he's like, Dad, you gotta hear this one.
He gets excited, and that Philly accent just slips out every once in a while. That's what I.
Yeah, and there's an Asian guy dropping fireworks everywhere.
Ricky Springfield, friend of mine.
I quote that movie more than you could ever imagine. Like, that movie had, there's two movies, and this thing is sound really meatheadish of me, but I don't care. Fight Club is one of the best fucking movies ever.
Yeah, great.
Fight Club was the movie my wife dumped me, and we were like dating for like 4 months. She dumped me, so I drank too much. And so I was like, I didn't know what to do. I watched Fight Club over and fucking over and fucking over until life made sense.
I got so fucking baked one time that I ended up doing push-ups in my living room naked while watching Fight Club, just because.
Dude, there is something very positive to homoeroticness. I don't care.
Do you know what I mean? I have no idea. I didn't know if I was going to do cock push-ups. I didn't know what was happening. It was great.
Dude, I have lifted weights, but at that time, there are definitely times I was hammered. Came home from a bar, lifted weights naked in my bedroom, just like, I am Tyler Durden's. I am Jack's voice. I am Jack's throbbing biceps.
I am Jack's swollen liver.
Oh my God. I drank last night for the first time in like three weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I came home, my buddy Kyle had to do an party show tonight, and he was like, hey, come down. And I was like, I've been working all day. And I came in to my hotel room, and I passed out, and I fell asleep hard for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and I was like, oh, there's no fucking way I can not drink tonight. Like, I have to drink. Because now I'm fucking, now I'm well-rested, so now I'm up, listening, Googling, trying to find a 50s version of Bob Seger's Beautiful Loser.
Did you find anybody that covers it really well?
No, I can't find anyone that's ever covered any Bob Seger, which leads me to believe no one's talked to Jeff Tweedy. I'm a big Wilco fan.
Yeah.
No one's talked to Jeff Tweedy about doing Bob Seger songs. He would do them fucking amazing.
That's a great idea.
He's got that broken voice.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if I ever run into that guy,
do it.
That'll never happen. I don't think he'd like my stand-up.
I feel like Kid Rock probably has tapes of him playing Bob Seger in the basement, just like volumes and volumes and volumes, but he's just not convinced enough to put it out yet.
He's naked while he's doing it.
Yeah.
No, I guarantee you. I like Kid Rock. I'm not shitting on Kid Rock, but like the problem with Kid Rock's version of Bob Seger is he sounds like Bob Seger.
Yeah.
He when he does covers of Bob Seger, he sounds like Bob Seger. I want someone to sound like themselves and do Bob Seger. Like, I want to, like, not to I don't know much about music, but I do know my few bands that I like.
Mm.
Like, sadly, it goes from Wu-Tang Clan to Wilco.
Nice.
I ran into the RZA this week.
Nice.
And he was doing press.
For that movie Broken, what was it? Concrete Mansions
Brick, or something? Dreams.
Brick Mansions.
Brick Mansions, that's it.
Brick Mansions.
Yeah.
And he, what's so interesting, and I'm not trying to sound shitty, I'm just trying to be very honest at the moment, is they introduced me to him and I did not know what they said because I was, like, I don't hear people's names when I get introduced. I just hear my name. And
It's very honest of you.
Yeah, but he was wearing like nursing shoes, like black, like orthopedic. Like he was not wearing like cool, like I'm a hip hop star shoes.
Yeah,
and his jeans were like. Someone had hemmed his jeans, definitely, and they were just like half an inch high on the shoes, so you'd see white socks. and his jacket was like from Wilson's, and it was like a very, very like budget conscious outfit.
Yeah, it's a Staten Island outfit.
Like,
yeah,
it didn't look like a rap star, and I literally did not recognize him because I was like, oh. I didn't think, you know, it's like he didn't look flashy.
Yeah. Do you think those are like rap star lazy clothes or something?
No, we were doing TV. Like he was going to be
on
TV. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, like in my head, and his barber was dressed nicer than him. And he had his barber with him and his personal assistant. And I was like, once again, I'm not trying to sound shitty, but like I didn't think about it twice. And then they're talking about health insurance. That's how little of an idea I had who I was talking to. We were talking about fucking health insurance. And he said, he was like, yeah, you need to get the Director's Guild. And I was like, I'm never going to direct a fucking movie. He goes, well, you got to direct Chisel. I said, how do you know that? And he goes, well, I directed one, and I want to direct my second one so I can get that insurance. I said, what movie did you direct? And he goes, Man with the Iron Fist. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I fucking saw that. Holy shit. This is RZA. Like, and I was like,
holy shit.
I go, I know exactly who you are. And he was like, oh, and he was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I was like, here I am trying to flash up my outfit, you know? And he's just a regular fucking dude being him.
Yeah.
Not conscious of the fact that I'm aware that he's wearing nursing shoes. And I was like, God, man, I wish I had that little self-awareness, you know?
Oh, man. Dude, that's fucking hilarious. RZA and his lazy clothes.
The whole thing was, and I'm not, by the way, I'm definitely not talking shit about this woman. One of the mob wives, Renee Graciano, was like, they were talking about something. Her and the RZA were talking about something about...
What show was this?
The N-word. I have no fucking idea.
Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah.
And they were talking about the N-word, and one of her friends was saying the N-word, and she wanted to stop the person that was saying the N-word, but she didn't want to argue with a fool. And then she said, because, you know, like A.Z. said, when you argue with a fool from a distance, they can't tell if you're the fool or not. And in my head, I was like, would someone please tell this bitch that that was written in Proverbs? And not Jay-Z? Like, fucking, are you shitting me?
Well, it was on the Blueprint album.
It was on the Blueprint album. It definitely was. But it was all from the fucking Bible.
She thought so. Lent was created by Nas.
Yeah,
that was his third album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was by Michael Sams.
Oh shit!
It was an interesting week of prep.
Oh, I can imagine, man. Fucking him.
Do you know Nas was a prophet?
What was that?
Oh.
Do you know that Nas was a prophet?
The book of Nas.
I know it's so funny. I don't find like I think because I grew up in the South. I'm not really impressed much with Northeast hip hop. Like, there's no, I can't think of one Boston rapper I've ever listened to.
Boston.
But I love, like, T.I. I love that Dirty South kind of hip-hop.
Yeah.
So
Outkast,
it's so
Luda.
Funny, like, I got into an argument online with a bunch of black dudes, and they were like, their immediate go-to is, like, you're white, you'll never have an opinion about this. I was like, well, I'm the one buying the music, too, like, and I don't think fucking Nas is shit. And that would, which is, by the way, an ignorant statement. But it was like, my whole point was like, Outkast is fucking, in my opinion, a 10 times better group. Maybe not than Wu-Tang Clan, but I would say per hit, Outkast has more hits than Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah. Wu-Tang Clan is more interesting to follow around in a documentary, no questions asked.
Mm. They have a great shoe line, too.
Interesting fucking guys. Yeah, but they did this right. If they can keep their shit together for the rest of their lives, they've done that right. They have a press code like Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, but black. There's 9 of them. But nice. Yeah, those are my theories on the hip hops.
Nice.
Well, I think, by the way, we're talking to Bert Kreischer.
Yeah. It's a good thing I'm recording.
Introduction.
It's a good thing I'm recording.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're recording. It's awesome.
Great.
Yeah, thank God you guys are recording. What if you're like, all right, we're going to start the interview now?
Yeah.
Where are you guys at? Where do you guys live?
We're all
Jersey,
in
New Jersey.
New York, New Jersey right now.
Oh, nice, nice.
And we hate South rappers.
Yeah.
It's so funny, man. Like, I had a little bit of a moment, I'm sure, only because I know where you guys live now, that you will have as much, like, respect for what I'm about to talk about. But, like, you know, I ever since XM Sirius started, I've been a huge Howard, Opie and Anthony fan.
Oh, yeah.
Fez, Opie and Anthony Howard.
Absolutely.
And I went to Sirius XM this week, and I did O&A, I did Ron and Fez, and I went over and surely and all the dudes over at Howard recognized me and wanted to get pictures, and I was fucking geeked out. I was like old school radio, like I was like, surely can you take me in Howard's like studio? And he was like, of course. And I'm like in the studio going, holy fucking shit. Like, you're in there with O&A, you're in there with Jim, like, and I've known Jim for a long time, but still, like, the whole show doing Ron and Fez was like a dream to me.
Yeah, man. You could totally tell listening to you too that you had this, you know, admiration as we all do, as we're former radio guys, all of us. So Ronnie B is one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, we worked with some of those guys too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, I said it on the show. My favorite thing he's ever said. My favorite interview he's ever done is with Justin Bartha. But my favorite thing he's ever said was when he was like doing cocaine and they were going to try to sell firearms. Shotguns for booze in an after-hour club. And he goes, seems like a great idea.
Yeah.
So you walk into a club bearing firearms to the gills. I mean, I was like geeked out over the whole Ronnie thing. And in my head, I was like, look, I don't give a fuck. People are like, you're going to get hate on Twitter anyway,
yeah.
No matter if you do everything right.
Right.
It's very seldom that everyone loves you. But I was like, I don't give a shit. All I care is that Ron knows that I appreciate what he's done. It was like the same way anyone that would say that to me of whatever I've fucking done, but that Ron goes, God damn it, man, I made a fucking one comedian looks at me and kind of like, and thinks I'm like a little bit of a hero. Dude, I remember being in a car with someone when he was like, Fezzy, I got a question for you. How many fifth graders do you think you could beat up? And he's like, good question, Ronnie. Can I use a fifth grader as a weapon? I don't know, Fezzy. Can you? I mean, it was like those moments on the show fucking defined me. Like, is one about, could they go into a village? They could just go into the town and kill everyone in the town from sun down to sun up. You ever hear that one?
Yes.
And he's like, he's like, I'm definitely going to fool you. I'd be like 10 bodies in and you come around the corner like, I can't get past the dog. I fucking love that show. I love that guy. That guy is, his personality is like, it's so beautifully broken in this.
I know.
It's only for like young boys that are grown men like us.
It's equal. Yes, you're right. It's equal parts small child and well-read genius. Like it's the same person wrapped into one. It's so funny.
Yeah. It's so much fun, and there is something perfect about it. You know what it is, and people say this every time I go into a meeting. They're like, oh, you remind me of this guy, and I never understood it at all.
Yeah.
But hanging out with Ronnie B, I go, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
It's Kenny Powers. It's Kenny Powers.
It's Kenny Powers.
It's that child that never had to grow the fuck up.
Yep.
But does adult shit. He wears grown man clothes. He just doesn't do grown man behaviors.
Right. So fucking true, man.
Yeah.
The most underrated radio personality of all time.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Absolutely.
Oh, easily.
Hey, man, I gotta say, thank you for letting us talk to you right after the premiere of your show, the new season, Trip Flip, on Travel Channel. Thanks a lot, man.
No, don't mention it. Thank you. No, thank you for calling me, man. Look, here's the thing, and I believe this. By the way, I'm not the one that thought of this up. This is not my premise. This is Joe's premise. Rogan is... a really special dude.
Yeah.
And the way he sees life has definitely trickled over to me. There were fucked up ways that I saw life before I met him, and this is all shit that I would never share with jokes. He would be like, stop it. But like, honestly, but there were fucked up ways that I saw life. I saw things maybe not fair in this business, and maybe like I saw things as like as maybe somewhat of a competition. Like, I was the guy that definitely would Google other comics' websites and look at their dates, and then I would feel shitty about myself.
Yeah.
And it was like two people's podcasts. In my head, I was like, I don't know if I ever thought past it, but I met Joe, and his whole thing was, dude, do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, but you have one. Why don't I just be a guest on yours? And he was like, no, have your own. I'll come in and do yours. Everyone will do yours. It'll be a blast. You'll have a great time. You'll learn a lot about yourself. And you can do mine and promote it. And I was like, what? Like, the way he looks at life kind of changed my perspective a tad bit. It definitely did. It definitely did. And now it's like, you guys send me a message. You're like, do our podcast? I'm like, of course. Why not? I'm part of this community just like you are. I believe in podcasting. I believe that people should get great entertainment for free, and it just pulls you over on a flight or on a ride into the city, whatever. But like, I'm fucking all about it. It's a community. We need to all support each other, and thank you for reaching out to me, because I definitely would do this shit. I do it every time. Ari does it. Ari's big about that too. Ari's like, dude, if I'm in town and you got a podcast, come to my hotel room. We'll podcast.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So I'm fucking all in. Dude, I know exactly how hard it is to get on a podcast. I have a podcast too. And let me tell you something. If I fucking take a weight off your week, or you think to yourself, fuck, my advertisers are going to finally be happy that we get fucking 50,000 downloads this week, or 100,000 downloads, can I get Rogan or Bert or Ari or Joey? Like, I know I got Duncan Trussell sitting in my back pocket that I'm waiting to put out. And I'm like, I'll just wait until my book's a little closer. I just got an email from Stanhope's manager today saying, like, hey, what's your day in May that you can do? And I'm like, I'm having fucking Stanhope come to my house for a late night drinking podcast. I cannot fucking wait.
Oh my God.
So like, I get the feeling just like you do. It's we're all on the same team.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
can you help us out with Rogan then?
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, can you help us out with Rogan then? Because I love your philosophy, man. Just like your show, Trip Flip, like, down for whatever, man. So thanks.
Yeah. Rogan, Joe's hard to get now. Joe's really hard. I mean, I'll be down honest with you, man. I've seen, I know that, I mean, he'd say that he's as accessible as ever. Man, that's a busy motherfucker.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah. Between that and UFC,
I think
shit.
I'm busy. Dude, I, like, we joke about it, but it's, like, impossible to get in touch with him because he's not only does he have a family, but he's got the UFC, he's got the theater tour, he's got his podcast. He's hanging out with scientists, like, every fucking day. He's hanging out with geniuses. He's doing what you should do as a human being, is hanging out with people smarter than you and then fucking accruing their knowledge. And he likes to get high, okay? Let's not forget that.
Yeah, look at where he has the time to do, like, four-hour podcast marathons all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, he is covered in passion. The way he lives his life is whatever he's passionate about, he does. And he's also one of those guys that doesn't fuck around. Like, when he's done it, he's done it. I always say I'll never speak for Joe, only because... I promise you this, when you think you have him figured out, when you think you're going to tell him something that will make him laugh, he does not fucking laugh. And when you don't expect to make him laugh, he loses his shit. And you're like, God damn it, man. Like, he's one of the most complex friends I've ever had. Tom Segura, I can make that motherfucker laugh in a heartbeat. Ari, Duncan, Joey's very complex, too, because sometimes he'll say something funny to Joey, and then Joey will get you confused and say something 20 times funnier back to you, and you'll be like, what the fuck? But yeah, Joe's, everyone, dude, everyone, it's a really good group of people that I'm, that I hang out with now, I'm sure I talked about this at some point, but I'm not telling secrets anymore. I say I'm not going to say something, and then I fucking say it, because I'm not that kind of guy. I thought I had testicular cancer, and I called Duncan. And Duncan, and I'm going to Hawaii with my family, not the time you want to think you have testicular cancer. And Duncan Russell just talked me off the ledge, like, very calmly. We did a podcast, I'll air it, like, in a couple weeks. This is the kind of relationship I have with Duncan, and I don't know how well you know Duncan, but Duncan comes into my man cave, we start doing a podcast, and he's like, what's going on? And I was like, man, I'm fucking in a bad place. I've been drinking a lot. I had been partying pretty hard, and I was like, and he was like, let's meditate. I was like, what? He goes, come on, man, let's meditate, me and you. He's like, who gives a fuck? There's no rules in podcasting. So for 10 minutes, we fucking meditate.
Holy shit.
It's on the podcast, and I fucking calmed down, and I felt grounded and centered, and I was whole, and I was like, I mean, the best fucking podcast after that 10 minutes. It was awesome. Yeah,
I just listened to him on Mark Maron. That was interesting, because I hadn't really heard his whole testicular cancer story yet, so that was interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, have you listened to Todd Barry on Maron?
Yeah, I just heard that one too. Yep. Love Todd Barry.
That's a good one, man. I listened to that on a Xanax on a plane, and I have never felt more wrapped in a blanket by Todd Barry's voice in my entire life.
Yeah. Todd Barry plus
Barry,
Xanax.
Man,
whoa.
He could talk me. He talks so calm. I felt like I was being roofied and molested. I was like, God damn it, Todd. I texted him and was like, you and Maron are making me feel so relaxed right now. He's like, I hope that's a compliment.
That's hilarious. Where are you now, man? You're in New York? Yeah. In a hotel?
Yeah, I'm in a hotel.
Yeah, we desperately wanted to come and hook up with you and have a couple beers. You said you were drinking in your live tweet of Trip Flip. What are you drinking right now?
Louis Martini from Sonoma County. It's a bottle of red. I think it's a cab. I just got it downstairs. I was in a rush. I got a steak and a bottle of wine, and I took it up to my room.
Nice.
And it's so funny, man. If you had told me at like 14 years old was the first time I ever stayed in a hotel. And when I was 14, I remember being in a hotel being like, this is fucking badass. And now I'm 41, totally flipped from 14. And I am in a hotel every fucking night. And I'm not even shitting. They're nice hotels. I stay in nice hotels. But man, there is this general wave of depression that comes over you where you're just like, I'm not with my fucking family. I'm not with friends. I'm by myself. I'm having a bottle of wine in a fucking hotel room by myself in the hotel robe. I'm wearing the fucking hotel robe.
While listening to Seeger.
Not listening to Seeger. honestly, this podcast has been the best thing that happened tonight. I feel like I'm talking to friends.
There you go.
We don't know each other, but I glommed onto you like a hooker. Like I'm fucking like a 35-year-old hot chick that's about to not be hot, and you guys are like a 53-year-old, like still looking young, using growth hormone, rich dude.
Oh, I wish we could be there for you, man.
That was the greatest compliment I've ever gotten. Appreciate that.
I love that you still embrace drinking. There's so few comics who do it anymore. It seems like everyone's sober. It's like you and Stanhope and, I don't know, maybe like Kyle Kinane. But like no one embraces drinking anymore.
You know, I think, like, quite honestly, when I got into this, I was a big drinker then. And I think I looked at it like, that's part of the reason I get into it. All white comics were sober, and so I just hung out with the black comics, and they all drank like well into their 40s, like 50 years old, they're still drinking.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked at it like I don't know, well, I'm going to get way too deep right now, especially for drinking, but like I don't ever want to be jaded. I don't ever want to be disingenuous. I don't ever want to be a different guy on stage than I am off stage. Like, when you see me on stage, I want you to meet me off stage and not be the exact same person. Now, that is a very slippery slope.
Because yeah, of course,
Because there's a ton of vulnerability that shows up in that. Because I do talk about my children, and I don't lie. And I know, and I'm well aware that at some point, everyone has to assume that one of my stories is somewhat fabricated. And I will always say, there is a tad bit of artistic liberties that should be allowed to every entertainer, but every single fucking one of my stories is 100% based in reality. So, like, trust me when I tell you, like, there are times I regret telling the machine story when I did, because, like, all of a sudden it took wind, and I became the machine, and I'd kind of grown past being the machine, like in college, but then I'm 41 and all of a sudden I'm the machine again. And then I do honestly get excited. And I'm like, I am the machine. And then I'm in shock with fucking people I don't know. And I'm like, wait, I'm going to be up all fucking morning with heartburn. Like, but I do want there to be a genuine connection with who I am on stage to who I am off stage. So I think that's the thing that I respect in Stanhope 100%. It's like when you talk to Doug, you're getting the guy that's on stage and off stage. There is not a disconnect. You're not talking to, and I'm definitely not sitting on Tim Gaffigan. But with Tim Gaffigan, probably who he is on stage and who he is off stage. I'm trying to think who I'm thinking about right now. But like,
anybody that does like a character, you know what I mean? Like, has like kind of a character, character esque to them. Like, there's the people that are the people.
Natasha Leggero.
Yeah, the people that are real, the people that are real, you can tell. I mean, it's very easy to spot a phony like that. Like you said, like yourself, Stanhope, guys like that. Dave Attell is another one that I feel is.
Well, it's like Attell got sober, and he just is real. He just who he is. He doesn't talk about drinking anymore. He's like, it's not like he's like, I'm sober, but I'll still do the drinking angle.
Right.
And I definitely do that, but you're right. I don't connect with like. I'm not shitting on Richard Lewis. God damn it, why do I say I'm not shitting on him when I shit on him? I'm not shitting on Richard Lewis, but like the like neurotic, like, I don't know.
Right.
You
have
this thing. Like, well, you're rubbing your hair and that becomes your bit is you rubbing your hair.
Right.
Like, I don't have that. And I never liked that. I never connected with it. I connect with Kinison was like the first dude that I saw that I was like, that's what I want to be. Like that. Because it was like he would talk about something real. Like when he was like, and then she tears through all your money. And you're like you hear that about him and wives. And you're like, I bet that really fucking happened.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like Richard Pryor. One of my favorite Richard Pryor jokes is like, it's not even like a joke that anyone remembers, but it was so fucking real that you went, holy shit, that must have really happened. He's like, man, when I was a kid, you had to be able to do two things, get ringworm and fuck a dog. And I was like, that makes no sense so much that I bet it's true. I think I'm probably fucking ruining that joke, but I guarantee you, it's, man, get ringworm and fuck a dog. Am I doing that right? Google it.
I really you hope it's it way funnier. Wrong. Yeah, I hope it's totally wrong.
It's like,
hold on, I'm looking.
He's Googling. Consult the Oracle.
It's probably
I'm
like
going to YouTube.
Cook an omelet and tie your own shoelaces.
Yeah. Buy a ring pop. Buy a ring pop and adopt a dog. That's what he said.
Richard, I'm not typing Rich and Fire. Ringworm, fuck a dog. Richard Pryor on sex.
I've been married about four times.
Never mind, that hasn't happened. All right, never mind. Let's just agree to agree that I'm right.
Yes,
sounds good to me. Sounds fine. Sounds fine. So
I remember. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about your show, man.
Yeah, it just premiered tonight.
Yeah, I just watched the both episodes, the Idaho adventure and the Costa Rica adventure. And first question I got to ask, this is my first time watching the show, so first question I got to ask, are all the girls that you get, are they all hot? Is that like some pre-planning?
Of course.
Yeah. I will be honest. Oh, shit. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hang on one second. Are you there still?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hold on one second. My sound guy is FaceTiming me right now.
Okay.
Or maybe not. He tried to FaceTime me. I think he's watching the show. Yes, I will. I'm not perfect. And obviously when I see beautiful women, I get as much swayed as you would.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a regular dude, and it's like you don't realize it until like 6 months after you shot the show, and they're like, did you just go with them because they're hot? And you're like, no, they were really fun. And
I like your personality.
They really were hot. They really were beautiful, but they're really cool and they're really adventurous. Like they really said their things were, and people never say this.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I want to base jump, bungee jump, I want to do all that. And you're like, wow. No one ever says that shit.
Well, that first girl, Sarah or whatever, the one who had an adventure blog, she was kind of flirting with you a little bit during the episode. Is that real or was that some nice editing?
No, that's so funny. That's so funny, and I'll say this because they're friends of mine and I know for a fact that it doesn't matter. But Angela was flirting with me.
Oh!
Like, if anyone was flirting with anyone, it was Angela. Sarah was not at all. Like, I Sarah and I are definitely friends.
Yeah.
But, like, Sarah, I literally thought at one point, like, Angela was flirting with me. And, but she had a boyfriend. She told me, and I have a wife. What am I talking about? but at one point, I was like, I told her, I was like, oh, through the entire trip, like, there's no way you do fall in love with these couples. Like, guy and girl, you do form a connection and you do connect and you do have moments where you have real moments in life. And I even said in my podcast when I talked about Angela, I was like, I literally got a crush on her because she was so cute and so much fun and so honest and so vulnerable and so real about everything. And Sarah was a baller. Like you could literally throw knives at her and she wouldn't flinch. But Angela has the same vulnerability that I have sometimes. So yeah, that was interesting that you thought that though.
Yeah.
So with the base jumping thing, did you really like, was it joke? Like you were joking about the weight limit or did you not want to do that at all?
No, I didn't want to do it at all. And they called me and they told me, would you do it? And I was like, no. And they were like, are you sure? Cause you can't do it if you don't do it. And I was like, well, I don't want to do it. And they're like, well, how about this? How about you look at the video? So I look at the video and I'm like, all right, it doesn't look that bad. It looks doable. I've done worse. So I'm like, okay, all right, let me think about it. And then the line producer called me and was like, hey, just say you'll do it. And I was like, what? And they're like, just tell everyone you'll do it. And I was like, why? And they're like, there's a weight limit of 180 pounds. You're not going to be able to do it. I was like, I'm in, guys. And they're like, perfect. We're going to do it. And then we got there, and they're like, there's a weight limit. I'm sorry, man. And I was like, oh, man. That stinks. Guys. Oh. And then the guy said to me, like, right before he goes, hey, man, I can make it so that we can do it. I go, no, fuck that. I'm not, no. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
And you talk about, you know, falling in love with the couples. That second couple that was in Costa Rica, they totally fucked in that treehouse, didn't they?
They fucked in all those places.
I cannot confirm nor deny that. I will say that the people that owned the property said the monkeys were going crazy that night.
Like a scene from Ace Ventura.
They literally said, and I'm being honest, they said the monkeys were up all night long. But those two were cool as shit, man. They were young as fuck, and they just wanted to party. We went to that Envision Festival, and they're like, we're staying here, right? And we're like, oh, yeah, you're really staying here. And they're like, awesome, see ya. And they left.
Nice.
And we literally ran into them in the morning, and they were like, we've been up all night.
The first night of the monkeys.
They were cool as shit, man. They were really great. Like, it's a lot of the show is about getting people you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's ultimately what I do. And it's going to be maybe I can be, I picked two hot chicks. Obviously, my wife saw that. So, I had a really good time with them. We had a really good time. And we were, everyone was respectful of everything. And we shot a TV show. And they were fun as fuck. And they were beautiful. And we did a great podcast. And they enjoyed the show. They did. And we changed lives. I'm fucking the Gandhi of Travel Channel.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing, too. It just seems like you just, you know, you get to hang out with people that just, like you do so often, just say yes. You don't say no to things, you know, and you have no idea where it takes you. It's just great. It's great to see.
It's definitely been my downfall is I do not say no to anything.
Yeah, which is why you're on this show, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, I should say no to the rest of this bottle of wine and go to sleep. I have to get a train tomorrow morning at 8 in the morning.
Where are you headed?
I'm going to DC. I'm doing this new tour called a Call and Sick to Work tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in and I do radio at 8 in the morning till 10. And then I go straight to the club at 11 o'clock.
Wow.
And do a show at 11 o'clock in the morning. And we drink in the morning and then drink all through the afternoon. And then, so I did it in DC and it sold out in 20 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, that is awesome.
That's incredible.
That's a great concept.
Yeah, so I'm doing that Friday.
Yeah, I love that. And you got a book coming out, right? Life of the Party, it's called?
Yeah, my book. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I would have never thought about this.
Yeah, no.
Life of the Party is my book. It is so important. If you are saying to yourself right now, listening to this podcast, God, I can't believe Bert's so cool. He called into the show. This is my favorite show. I like Bert, or I never even heard of Bert. Or, oh, cool. Dude, fucking pre-order my book. This fucking thing is going to be the fucking death of me. I am losing hair over this book. Books are defined by their pre-orders. So a book does well if it pre-orders well. So if you have enjoyed me talking on this show, if you have enjoyed my TV show or anything of mine, and you want to pay it forward, go to BertBertBert.com and pre-order my book, Life of the Party. You can pick any of your portals there where you want to pre-order it. You can do it on Amazon, on Books A Million, on Barnes & Noble, but please pre-order my book. That is all I need to say. Thank you so much for reminding me about that.
No problem. So what is
I'm gonna pre-order one.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
As a thank you.
Absolutely, as a thank you. That's perfect. What is the book? What is the book? Just a lot of the some of the stories that we've heard, maybe a lot that we haven't. What's the book about?
The definitive.
I would say every story. It's the one thing that is. I didn't realize I was doing this when I wrote it. I just thought about writing a book, and I didn't really pay attention to much. But I had an editor who was very stuck on the truth. But he was like, I know you robbed the tradition, but he was like, let's pretend I don't believe you. So I literally go through my book, and it's all my stories, but they are all 100% honest. They are all literally, I just stepped into the bathroom. Can you hear the difference?
Yes,
a little bit.
Okay,
sorry.
I'm peeing.
That's cool.
But they're all my stories. They're all 100% true. And then I would say they're all the stories that you may have heard or expect to see in the book. And then that's half of the book, or maybe a third of the book. And the other half, or the other two thirds of the book, is all stories you haven't heard that aren't necessarily entirely podcast friendly or were ready for the stage, which is more like me and my buddy Eddie's one of the funniest fucking human beings in the world, and we literally overtook a town in Pennsylvania, in upstate Pennsylvania, in the Poconos one weekend, and it was, I mean, unbelievable, so fantastic, so amazing, and it has such a great bookend to the front and to the back that it was like, it was, and the whole point was, we lied to these people telling them that I was writing a book, and this girl let me almost fuck her, and then she stopped me, and she was like, listen, I just want to do enough to get in the book. And by the way, at the time, I wasn't writing a fucking book, so I was like, hands on my ankles, what are you talking about? And she was like, I just want to do enough to get in the book. And I'm like, what book? She goes, are you not writing a book? And I was like, yeah, I'm writing a book. So then the end of the chapter, I was like, honey, I don't know your name. You must have kids by now, but let me tell you something. You did just enough to get in the book. So that's the story. I tell the story about, I don't know if you listen to ONA, but I told the story about dating a girl with cerebral palsy this week that I didn't know she had cerebral palsy because...
Yes.
I was drinking a lot.
Because your hand, and you and Slash hung out or whatever, that whole thing?
Yeah, and then I interviewed Slash, and she came, and she met Slash, and then, and a lot of, in all honesty, and I say this, my wife knew Patrice. My daughter's no connection, but my daughter's name's Georgia. Patrice's mom's name's Georgia. So my wife knew Patrice, and my wife was a big fan of Patrice's, like a really big fan of Patrice's. And so when I wrote this, my wife was reading everything I wrote. So when I wrote this story, obviously Patrice was a big part of the story. I ended up writing a bunch of, it's half about Patrice, half about this girl with cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And they hated each other. And my wife loved it. It is a great reflection of who Patrice was. And if you knew him, you will read this and you will go, God damn it, I can hear his voice on the pages. So that's in there. I went at Whitney Houston when my daughter T got out is in there. I think I just ended that story away. But it's a real book. It's like 250 pages. It's legit. I talk about the Rolling Stone thing, I talk about being an attorney, racism, drugs, everything. It's very honest. I didn't mean for it to be this honest, which has caused a little bit of vulnerability, but whatever, I don't give a fuck. The best part about the honesty is, like, I had a little bit of fallout. I don't know if you've heard or not, but on AMA, they asked Tracy Morgan if he ever smoked PCP with me.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know who Bert is. I've never met Bert. I never expected him to say anything different. I never thought that he would remember me by any stretch of the means. However, my story, when I tell it, is extremely honest and extremely true. And Tony Woods was there. And Tony Woods is in the book, and I'm going to DC tomorrow, and I'm doing a podcast as well. And in my story, I've always said, I always thought he was fucking with me, that Tony Woods always thought he was fucking with me. And at the very end of the night, when it was clear Tracy had all his faculties about him, I realized that I didn't smoke PCP, that he was fucking with me. But that's in the book. And it's so funny, I didn't even realize that I wrote the truth. Like, I just didn't know what I wrote. Like, I was like, God, do you know that moment of like, fuck, what did I say? And I and then the whole thing with Tracy came out this week. And I literally went, I have one copy of my book in my man cave. I ran to my man cave. I looked in the table of contents. It's called Shermfest. I flip back to Shermfest. I get to the last page. And it says, that's how I know you didn't smoke PCP with Tracy Morgan. And I'm like, thank God I'm not a liar. You know?
Yeah. Holy
shit. So.
That sounds awesome, back man. You just have some fucking stories. Holy shit.
Yeah. By the way, I just pre-ordered the book.
Yeah.
Just pre-ordered.
Oh, I just did it. Thank you, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. Hey, are you still on bad terms with Jay Moore?
I've been for 3 years, but not in bad terms. I would never say anything bad about him. I have nothing bad to say about him. But we haven't talked in a long time. And I think, I don't know, I mean... Like I said, I got nothing bad to say about him. I don't think he has anything bad to say about me. I think it was just one of those things that, you know, that happened and happened. And time heals everything. I'm sure that one day we will fucking hug it out I'm sure we'll probably do it in person first and then do a podcast about it.
Like, right.
You know, or, and it won't be done on Twitter, or it won't be done at the behest of someone going, finally, man, bury the hatchet. I'm like, I'm a grown up. He's a grown up. We're good grown men. And we had a very real relationship that, you know, took a turn at some point and will turn back. But it has nothing, you know, I have nothing bad to say about the guy. I listened to his Marc Maron again the other night. And he is one of the smartest guys I've ever fucking met. He is hands down one of the funniest dudes I know. And I'd be remiss if I said I didn't miss him at times, you know, to get his insight on life. But, you know, whatever. You know, I'm sure you've had those experiences in your life. But the problem is, like, you never talk about it on a podcast. Or never have on a podcast. So no one like throws their two cents on your life. And that was the only thing I ever regret is like I didn't realize how big podcasts were at the time. So I should have shared everything I wanted to share with Jay to Jay directly because, you know, man, that's how a grown man does shit. So.
Right on. It always bums me out when two people that we think are hilarious just have, even though it's none of our fucking business, but it's always like, oh man, those guys should poke back up because they're fucking funny together. And you get from listening.
His podcast is still to this day a great podcast. I still listen to it. I have no ill will towards that at all. And I don't look back on our friendship or on anything that happened in a negative light. And I don't look back and part of the problem with all this is I'm also on the road like fucking 45 weeks a year. And I have two kids and I have a wife and I have a group of friends that I do see and that are easy to hang out with. You know, it's like, you know, Tom and Ari and those guys, they literally just come to my house. And so it's a little bit user friendly. So, and I'm lazy as fuck. So I think that's also the reason that we haven't connected and we haven't like hugged it out. But you know, it happens when it happens. You know what I mean? I think.
Sure.
And if you force it, it goes too. It is a real relationship. So, but yeah, he's not that guy. I'm being dead honest. Anyone that has any fucking, you know, thoughts on me and Jay? I listened to his Maron podcast the other night, and I believe he was very remiss. Is remiss the right word? He was very honest. He was very open, and I heard him talk on that podcast, and I felt like, and I listened to it again the other night randomly, but like, he's not a bad guy, man. He's not a bad guy. I have nothing to say about him.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm not like being super honest or super open about it and sharing everything. But you know, it's also like it is a weird. Like a tad bit personal, where it is your personal life, you know, like it is like as open as I want to be, like there's parts of things that I don't share with everyone. Like, there's parts of things I share with everyone. And then there's parts of things I don't share with anyone. Like I share that, you know, Isla, my youngest, is going through occupational therapy, but I do that on stage and I make jokes about like the way she sees the world. And I do it because I think that that's good for parents to hear. But then like there are parts that I don't share that are like way too vulnerable for me. That like friendships, man. I've always had a hard time making friends. I did a podcast with Ari recently, and we talked about the way I get into relationships and the way I get into friendships, and about this story I had about this guy cutting my hair. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but
no.
It was extremely vulnerable. And I didn't realize I shared it. And then I got done sharing it, and I was like, God, I want to fucking edit that out. But I couldn't get it out of the podcast clean. Like, I couldn't get in and out. I didn't know how to get it out so that it made sense that what we talked about before made sense to what we talked about after. So I just fucking left it in, and I was like fucking stressing that everyone was going to see what a coward I was in life and how. It was a story about professional wrestling. And we were in professional wrestling when we were kids in the South. And me and these kids were in the outfield for like baseball, and these kids were bigger than me. They were a year older than me, and they were like body slamming me. And we were all in the professional wrestling, but I was definitely the fucking the jabroni, you know, the ham and egger. And they were definitely the fucking The Rock or Hulk Hogan at the time, or Kerry Von Erich, actually. And so they're body slamming me and they're fucking throwing me around. And I'm laughing, but it does kind of hurt. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing another one. I'm smaller than all of them. And I wasn't necessarily standing up for myself. And then one of the guys puts me in a headlock, and out of his back pocket, he pulls out a pair of scissors, and he cut a lock of my hair off. And I was like, hey, how long did it take me in here? The producer informed me. I didn't care because it didn't hurt. So, like, I was like, I'm going to cut all my hair off. You didn't hurt me. I'm fine. And then I went, my dad saw it. And my dad, I got in the car to drive home. My dad was like, he was like, you cut your fucking hair. I was like, yeah. He was like, you humiliate you. Why wouldn't you stand up for yourself? And my dad was so fucking let down in me. Like, you could see that he lost respect in that moment. That, like, what kind of man am I making that doesn't fucking punch a guy in the face when he cuts their hair? And in my head, I was like, I don't give a fuck. I didn't get hurt. Like, he had scissors in his hands. I was trying not to get stabbed in the face. Like, we were wrestling. But the analogy we made was that I've always been the kind of guy that would assume let someone cut my hair then actually hurt me. And so, and it's a very vulnerable place. Something I was talking about in therapy. I hate to admit it, I'm in therapy, but whatever. But it's one of those moments in the podcast where you're like, I got to edit that out. But then I said it, so I fucking tell it all the time because I'm like, fuck it, I'll own it. Like, if I put it out there, I fucking own it. But that's one of those places where I wish I had. And so, you know, whatever.
And that was Brutus the Barber Beefcake's first heel turn.
Yeah. Dude, that was the thing back in the day. They'd do a hair match. So, like, yep. I kind of understood it. My dad didn't get the premise. it was like a get-out-of-town match.
Yeah, dude, I think putting that out there, man, just makes you more of a, like, gives you that friend level of to people. That's why people feel like they know people on podcasts, you know? Everybody has moments like that in their lives. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting that out there. Like, what are people going to think less of you? It makes you more human. And I think that's why people like you so much and relate to you.
I hope so.
Yeah, dude.
I was very honest with Ron about the drinking. And in my head, I was like, I hope to God this doesn't make me drinking look depressing. And I was eating Xanax, and I was like, oh my God, that's in my maintenance program. It's like, quit drinking. But it was so honest. But, like, from him, he's coming from a place of recovery. For me, I'm coming from a place of like I'm in the middle of the surf. Like, I'm trying to figure out, do I ride with it or do I paddle in, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like talking to him, and I was like, God, I hope this isn't too honest. But Travel Channel was cool with it. Fuck.
Yeah, well,
no, I liked it. I thought it was very real.
That's a good thing. But honestly, and I think you saw this as the show went on, just from listening to it, is that because Ronnie does that all the time too, where he'll throw out something, he'll throw out a little tidbit in his life that you'll be like, holy shit, he did that as an 11-year-old? That's fucking crazy, you know, or whatever. So
yeah,
I think you're in good company. Don't worry about it.
Good. Thank you.
Definitely, man. Well, we should probably let you get going. You got a bottle of red wine to finish. You got a busy day tomorrow.
I still have to pack. Well, thank you very much for doing this. I appreciate it, man. It was really cool talking to you guys. You guys helped me kill a Wednesday night after my show where I would have just been Googling myself. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Cool. So tonight, were you Bob Seger?
Yes.
We're the Bob Seger podcast. We're the Bob Seger podcast.
That's so fucking funny. As you said that, I was pulling out my computer to play Bob Seger. Like, literally, like, I was like, well, that's what, I guess I'm done with this. I will be going back to Bob Seger. All my computer says is Richard Pryor ringworm right now.
Perfect ending. Everyone check out Bert's website, BertBertBert.com. Tour dates coming up in May and on in the Northeast here. And the book, Life of the Party, pre-ordered it on Amazon. And check out, of course, Trip Flip, Travel Channel, Wednesday nights at 9, right?
Wednesday nights at 9. Next week's an hour special. I'll listen to what's playing.
Yes.
I love it, man.
We will definitely go out with this for sure. Hey, man, we'd love to, I need to come have in. A beer with you sometime. We'll catch up with you on the road sometime.
Hey, I'm in like Massapequa next week. Or no, Nantucket. I'm at Comets at Foxwoods.
Yep, okay. Saw that.
Yeah, so if you guys are around, come up. We'll have a beer.
Rock and roll.
We'll definitely assault you at some point when you're around New York, for sure.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Bert. Guys.
Thanks, Bert.
Man. Take care. All right.
We'll talk See to you. You. Mate.
There. Bert Kreischer, everybody.
Holy shit.
That was sweet. That was just like talking to our, like a guy we know.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I missed like a sentence in the beginning, and then because he just went off, it was just off and running.
It's like the Nerdist. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No intro.
No intro.
Very cool. Yeah, definitely go check out Bert, man. He's funny and obviously a freaking cool guy.
Yeah, cool. Definitely a cool guy. That show was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
My first time seeing it, but that's
yeah, me too.
Trip Flip's really good. And I definitely want to pre-order that book as well. Holy cow.
I actually did pre-order it. Nice. I haven't bought a book in like 10 years.
If there's one thing to familiarize yourself with Bert is if I hope it's in the book, the full Russian
machine
train
story.
Robbery, the machine
yeah, the
story.
The machine story. Yeah, his nickname is the machine, and it's like probably the most epic like comic story of all time. It's like his trademark thing. I'm sure it'll be in the book. And I think it's on one of his specials too. But just if you, there's like versions of it on YouTube and stuff. Just type in Bert Kreischer, the machine, and you'll find the story out there. But the dude just has millions of awesome stories.
It's
so.
Absolutely incredible. That was a cool get.
Yep. That was sweet.
That was a very,
Thanks,
very
Twitter.
Cool
guy. Tonight's guest, booked by Twitter.
He literally did O&A, Ron and Fez, and then our show the following day. He did nice. O&A and Ron and Fez yesterday. And he's on our show today, immediately following the season premiere of his show. That's fucking...
Yeah, that he live tweeted for an hour.
That's ballsy. Yeah. I love that.
And he talked to us for an hour.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very cool. All right. Well, that's it, man. Go support Bert. Order his book. That's what he wants. So freaking do it if you enjoyed this.
Yes.
And that's it. We know celebrities, don't we, boys?
I guess so. I guess we're drinking with them at Foxwoods. Let's do it.
All right. We'll talk to you next week on Masters of None. So I'm Jay from Mike and Art.
See ya.
See ya.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
You think had it,
too
think
many.
Someone had it and they were like, we want that. We got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they got, they saw that.
They maybe got they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.